ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the one who created mates for each other, ladies and gentlemen, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We offer you our warmest welcomes to today's program of Muslim Family, which is being broadcasted to you from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the COI radio station. Please be with us.
Looking up at the sky, searching for Allah Most High. He rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. Though with stones on his chest, his iman would not rest. The Mu'adhin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of the Muslim must be strong.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, once again, welcome to the program Muslim Family. The expert of our program, for those of you who have not been listening to it and do not know him, is Dr. Abbas Ali Shamli. He holds an MA in developmental psychology and a PhD in culture and values in education. He is an international lecturer and he has more than 10 years of experience in family consultation. And I'm the host, Fatima Shamli. We're really happy to have you listening to our programs. We hope that you do enjoy listening to them. And if you have any suggestions or any questions about our programs, you can email them to us at coi@irib.ir. Dr. Shamli, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Alaikum assalam, not only to yourself, but to all listeners, brothers and sisters in Islam. Ready for the discussion?
It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in the last program of Muslim Family, we were talking about why Islam suggests so much that we should be married. And unfortunately, we did not come to the part where why we are denounced, why singlehood is being denounced or discredited in Islam, because we had a very complete discussion. So inshallah, today we will try to discuss that part of our discussion. Dr. Shamli, as you said, as you explained in the last program, I'll just have a quick review. Mm-hmm. We said that marriage is suggested and prescribed, not obligatory, but very, very strong suggestion that in Islam, because first of all, it's parallel to our nature. Second of all, because it helps you escape depression, and that's in everyone's fitra or nature to be with someone. And third of all, because of love. Because of both receiving and expressing love. Today we're going to talk about why we are not suggested as Muslim to be single. The one reason which would come to my mind, of course, is that when you're not married, you don't have any responsibility towards anyone, and therefore you would be very eager to try, you know, different doors and have a small pinch of everything. Mm-hmm. And that would obviously open the door to corruption.
Yeah. You know, initially when we talk about singlehood or singleness in Islam, we immediately come to the idea that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam put a very big red cross on singlehood. In a very explicit discouragement, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا رهبانية في الإسلام. There is no, absolutely no isolation and going to a corner in Islam. This brings to me an idea that Islam is a religion of nature, is a religion of fitrah, is a religion of perfection. The very goal and target of creation, of human creation, is what? Is perfection, to come up with perfection. And according to what Ayatollah Shahid Mutahhari provides in his volume entitled as Al-Insan Al-Kamil, he says,
perfect human.
You know, perfect human being is the one who has been able to actualize all potentialities, all capacities that you have. You come up with the full actualization, the full realization of your potentialities and your capacities. Okay, if you don't go by parallel actualization in all aspects, in all dimensions, you will come up with a human being who is perfect, man or woman. Okay, but in some aspects, in some dimensions,
right.
And this is not perfect man, perfect human being. This is a caricature. What is caricature? Caricature
one
is the
part
one
is magnified.
Magnified in one single aspect and neglected
funny.
In other aspects. You know, with regard to your thumb, you come up with a huge tower. You go up to the highest point, but with regard to other fingers, you stay at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It's caricature.
So, you know, some people, when they say that, oh, the prophet was perfect, and if he lived like that, then he was the prophet. But he was a prophet, but he was a human being. And that's the significance
the same time,
of Allah's example
while
for us.
I'm a prophet for you. Okay.
I'm married. I have children.
I eat. I drink.
Yeah.
I have children. I have family. I get married. Okay. So it means that prophethood and religiosity in Islam means going toward perfection. And perfection is nothing more than trying, attempting to actualize, to realize all
of your
potentialities
capacity.
And all capacity.
And about what
and
you
one
said
of them is marriage. But unlike Christianity,
yeah,
unlike Buddhism, Hinduism, okay, in Islam we don't have isolation.
You know about what you said, the Prophet said, La ruhbaniyata fil Islam, there is no isolation in Islam. First of all, we have to clarify one thing, that isolation, like in some months, you are suggested to have isolation for 3 days in a masjid and fast in the days and pray at night. So that's something very different. This ruhbaniyah, just to clarify for our listeners, this ruhbaniyah is living like that all throughout the year and all your life, you know, doing nothing but just praying and living alone. First of all, and second of all, we've seen that in different religions that they practice this ruhbaniyah or
exactly.
isolationism, we see corruption in those churches, you know.
Exactly.
People go to them and they plead to them, oh, I have this problem, and we see that, you know, some cases
the
arise.
The root is there, although the surface is nothing. The root is there.
Yes.
We are human beings at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We are human beings. We are not angels. So, it is very interesting. You divided two types of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in practices, you need to be with yourself. You need to be alone. You know, it happens for all of us.
Yes.
That someday, occasionally, we are in need of loneliness. You need to be with yourself.
Yeah.
To think, to get inspired. Okay? This is completely and totally different than isolation. It happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a group of companions decided to be the most religious, dedicated person among the companions.
Mm-hmm.
They came to the family and said, okay, today we had a talk from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was talking about nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perfection. And he said that there are people who are able to, you know, take themselves away from all beauties, you know, and attractive aspects of this life.
Right.
And they are able to make themselves perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we have decided, a group of us, to go out of the city,
right.
Go to a cave, and from the early morning up until the early morning next day, just to be fast, to pray, to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to try to come up with self-control, and you know, all that. And it happened about a month.
Right.
You know, couple of days that the wives and the families,
they came to the Prophet.
Went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained. Mm-hmm. What type of religion you are bringing to us? All the husband went out.
Families are being torn apart.
And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, really? About my ummah? There are companions. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to that cave, found those companions and said, who told you to do this? If you die in this way, you are not Muslim. You are the Jews. If you go through this way, you are not Muslim. You know, Muslim people must have their attempt, must have their days and nights.
Yes.
La ruhbaniyata fil Islam. Man mata minkum ala hadha, mata ala din al Yahud. Those who die in this way, they die
as non-Muslims.
As non-Muslims. Okay. So, isolation, going to a corner, trying to be away from society, social activities, there is nothing in Islam. Muslim is the one who is able
to live in the society
and have self-control within the social activities.
And that's when the reward is more... The reward is doubly, because, for example, imagine you're fasting and you're living in Scandinavian countries where it's such long hours and people are, they don't much, like, they're not very familiar with Islam and they don't have a very positive view, and you have to stay hungry all day and you have to go to work and you have to watch people eating, or exactly. Compare it to like someone fasting in Iran when like eating is and drinking is illegal. So
exactly.
Of course, if you're living in the society and you see things and you decide not to do it, then you're more rewarded than if you're inside a cave and you can't do any haram.
And from this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to a conclusion that keep in mind that if you're Muslim, you need to get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the lesson, this is the message out of that story. Okay, if you're Muslim, you need to get married. And he said, La ruhbaniyata fil Islam, aktharu ahli an-nar al-uzzab. In the Arabic term, and according to what we have in Islamic narration, the term al-azab, and the plural is al-uzzab. Azab means single. Uzzab means singles. Those who stay single. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ al-uzzab. Singles.
Most of the people in hell are among
in hellfire
singles.
Are just singles. And on the contrary, he said, النِّكَاحُ سُنَّتِي وَمَنْ نَكِحَ فَقَدْ أَحْرَضَ ثُلُثَ دِينِهِ فَقَدْ أَحْرَضَ نِصْفَ دِينِهِ. You know, marriage is my tradition, and those who get married, they have already gained whether two-thirds or half of their religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
They come up with half or two-thirds of their religiosity.
And this brings us to the idea that staying single opens the doors to corruption, because when you're married, your sexual desires are a big part of your life, you know, and then they are met. But then when you're single,
exactly.
You have to answer them through different doors, which will eventually lead to corruption. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go for a short break, but don't go away, because we're going to be right back.
Muslim Family, a program from the Call of Islam.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked how can we share what's not enough, she said the heart of the Muslim's filled with love. He said, it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow, that some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright, for the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Welcome back, my dear friends. Dr. Shamli, I'd like to start this part with a memory I heard from someone, and I think it's very relevant to this part of our program. I was talking to this man who was coming from Sweden, and he had traveled a lot around the world. And once I asked him, like, did you enjoy traveling? Because he was traveling all alone, or like sometimes with friends, but most of the time alone, like imagine to 20 countries. And I said, like, do you have fun? And this was after this guy was married. I said, did you really enjoy it more honestly then or now that you're married? And he said, you know, to be honest, I enjoy it more now, because then I didn't know the sweetness of traveling with someone. Mm-hmm. And now that I have experienced it, I think, oh my God, I've like had all of these countries and I haven't had someone to say, oh, look at that
to
bird, look
about
at that.
For the expression.
Exactly.
Emotional expression, yeah.
And this brings me to, like, if you travel as a backpacker, especially in different countries in the world, you see a lot of single people.
Yeah.
Most of them are single, or like you see families, but most of the backpackers who are adventurous, you know, it's like either a single guy or a single girl. They make friends, but you rarely see married couples, you know. And this brings me to the idea of why in the Western society getting married, there are like impediments to it, or it's like
it's not a major concern.
Exactly. Yeah. So what would you have to say about that?
Yeah, thank you very much for raising this very important question. You know, as a Muslim, we need to dedicate ourselves for the Quranic teachings and for prophetic and teachings coming up from the Islamic narrations.
Yeah.
It's the source of education for all Muslims, men and women. You know, do you remember the prophetic narration that he said, من نكح فقد أحرض نصف دينه or فقد أحرض ثلث دينه, the one who get married, he or she has already gained half or two-thirds of his religion, his faith.
Right.
Then فليتق الله في الثلث الآخر or فليتق الله في النصف الآخر.
Mm-hmm.
He must be pious, careful,
about
but fearing
one half
with regard to the the remaining half or the remaining a third.
One third, right.
One third. So, it means that in Islam, one of the sources of corruption comes from sexual relations.
Mm-hmm.
And we are encouraged to get married to meet. This is a need. Stems from human nature. So, if you just meet this need through a, you know, proper way,
legal,
then you
right
go okay.
Yeah.
If not, you look for the alternatives.
Yes.
And in Islam, we are encouraged to close the other alternatives.
Yeah.
You said you just remember some backpackers. They come as boyfriend, girlfriend. And
or even all alone. That was really surprising for me.
All alone, they don't enjoy it.
They do. Actually, they say they do.
They do, but it's a word. It's a word. You know, when you come together and you taste togetherness, then you don't have fear.
Yeah.
You don't have depression. And you just release yourself. When you talk about the beauties, about the adventures that you have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's in there. Okay?
And
so.
Yeah, okay.
So, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that something really surprising for me was that it was a Saturday night and I was walking in one of the streets. And we were passing by some bars, and there was this guy who was wearing a skirt, and he had like makeup on his face, and I was like, okay, it was like the first time I had seen this scene, and mm-hmm. I was asking my friends who were from there. I said, do you know what, like, why is he like gay, or is what's the reason for that? And they said, this guy is probably getting married tomorrow, and it's the culture there, it's the tradition that before the night of marriage, the guy goes and has the fun of his life, so that like from tomorrow he's going to have to be married. And like, this makes me think that's the view to marriage. It's like imprisonment. It's like you're being caged and you have no more freedom.
Exactly.
You know? That's why you have to have the
fun
of your life.
All types of funds that you're going to have, just have it now.
Yeah.
Try to
release yourself.
Before
you get married.
Well, this is not the case. You know, in Islam, other gates are closed, are blocked. Why? Because it put a red cross on the culture of care, culture of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of people who avoid and escape from marriage, what is the reason behind? What is the agenda behind? You know, carelessness. You know, culture of care, culture of responsibility. You know, if you get, you have to give
sympathy.
Something. You know, give and take. And in marriage, always, you have to learn a new culture of share, sharing. And share means give and take.
Yes.
You give and you take.
So you're sharing in both good and in bad. It's
exactly.
Not just like your good times.
So, and when you have hardship, when you have difficulties, when you have your efforts, your attempts, then coming up with your wife provides you a good, nice, remaining joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, after all types of challenges, difficulties, and hardship, you come up at the end of the day and stay with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you enjoy. The other types of enjoy are not real. They're artificial.
Not like deep, as deep.
Yeah,
you do enjoy,
artificial.
But they're not as deep.
You pretend. It's really pretend. It's not reality.
I just wanted to point to something. I was watching one of these, you know, talk shows. It was by this Protestant clergy who was talking to a crowd of people about marriage. And it was very, very interesting and very actually useful to us, even as Muslims. The guy who was talking was saying that, you know, when you have different experiences before marriage, your mind and your eyes become a camera. And you start snapping pictures, you know, of like the girls you see or of the boys you see.
Exactly.
And the more you see, the more experienced you become, like, oh, okay, so that's a criterion and that's a criterion. And then when you get married, you have to have the realization of all of this in your wife.
Exactly.
You know, that you can't do that because, like, okay, let's say one person has a nice nose and the other one has nice, I don't know, cheeks or nice hair, you know. You can't have the combination of everything. Like, you love that person and he or she's gorgeous and, you know, all of that together and with akhlaq as well. And when they get married, they won't get married at a young age because they've seen so many. And when they do, they're never going to be happy because the woman you've had built in your mind is a dream girl, you know, or a dream boy. It's not true.
Yeah. You know, because of this, in Islam, when you create the marriage is a format, is a type of frame that you put men and women inside. To do what? To create love and compassion. Based on what? Love and compassion based on responsibility and care.
Mm-hmm.
This pushes aside what? Individualism, selfishness. In Islam, you need to take care of someone. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is very important for Muslim to grow up with a new culture,
mm-hmm.
a new understanding. And that understanding is the issue of responsibility. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi." All of you are responsible. And all of you are responsible with regard to those who are under your control,
under
your supervision. Okay, men for wives, wives for their husbands.
And even there's a hadith from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, that he says, the best men of my ummah are, if you want to know the best men, they are the ones who treat women best.
Yeah. In terms of morality.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, and Dr. Shamli, we were talking about responsibility and sharing and love and all butterflies and cherries and all of that nice stuff. But you like, to face it and to be realistic, marriage is actually responsibility in not always a good way, because sometimes you just want to go on a trip with your friends and you don't want to cook or you don't want to clean or you don't want to wash your clothes and you just want to live a single life, you know. So how would Islam address that?
You know, when you talk about sharing, share is not just for the hardship, for the obligations, for the duties. Share means you try to establish a life that you divide your hardship and your joys, your responsibilities and your delicious time. Mm-hmm. Okay? With someone, in this way, you enjoy the life. Otherwise, you come up with loneliness. And at the end of the day, when you escape from the responsibility, at the end of the day, you feel alone. You feel that you're running around yourself. You're growing and realizing your selfishness. And selfishness is the most dangerous. And the most dangerous reality in your life.
One answer that would come to my mind to my own question would be that, you know, like we set the idea of marriage in not always, you can never generalize, in a lot of Western societies or in some Western societies, that they have the view that when you get married, like, you can have responsibility and you have to enjoy your life before you get married. So when you get married, you know, you just want to be married. That's the view they have. And then whereas in Islam, like a woman, if she hands over a glass of water to her husband, like there are angels blessing her and the angels are flying in the house, and the reward of a mother who is one of the daughters of Imam Khomeini, if I'm not wrong, comes to him and says, you know, like, my son, he's very naughty, and sometimes, you know, I'm really fed up and I don't know what to do. And Imam Khomeini says, like, he would really worship Allah and he would recite many sections of the Quran throughout the day. And he said to his daughter that if you knew the reward that you have, I would be willing to exchange the reward of all my ibadat for the reward of for one night of your putting up with your child, or not like putting up, but like treating your children well.
Caring.
So the view that Islam provides is the view of if you're giving love, then you're being rewarded, and it's because of Allah. And if your wife says something and you listen to her, or if you're angry and you try to swallow it up, then you get rewarded for that, and that reward comes in your life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in Islam, again, you know, when you go by boyfriend, girlfriend, do you think that there is no responsibility there?
Yeah.
In that pattern? Of course there is. You know, there are responsibilities. You are responsible with regard, even your boyfriend, your yeah. girlfriend. But responsibility, when you put it in a religious paradigm, when you put it in a religious frame, mm-hmm. okay, then you enjoy it and you feel, you taste that you are giving and you are taking. And at the same time, we need to be very careful that the criteria for evaluation is not just all that we think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes a tiny job, when you put it within the family framework,
it can be a big one. Okay, thank you very much. So, about why Islam suggests very much, why Islam rejects very much being single, we said because it's anti your nature, and second of all, because it opens the door to corruption. My dear brothers and sisters, once again, we've come to the end of another program. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Because life is a test, even if it hurts so much you want to cry. For the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.